Vivid Pictures, September 11th. Vivid pictures of planes crashing into buildings, World Trade Center. Looking at the images of people in dismay, looking up at the cloud of dust, paper, and then seeing people kneeling, sitting on the streets, kneeling and weeping. Pictures that we look at and we wonder, somewhat confused and perplexed by these images in terms of what do we do? What is God doing? That picture was on a, or that event or story was on a scale that was global. But much of what happens in our lives is not on the global stage. It's hard for us to maybe communicate to our neighbors or fellow brothers and sisters in Christ some of the injustices that we face, whether it's seeing them happen to our kids, seeing them happen to a fellow family member, whether it's in the workplace. We sometimes call these things discrimination, prejudice. But all in all, the Bible speaks to them as injustice. The fact that God will judge everyone and judge every man's work is clearly taught in Scripture. In fact, one of the most sobering thoughts about life has to do with where you are going to spend eternity. For many, the question will be, have I done enough good to get to heaven? I hope and trust that that's not a question that we have to think about. But maybe there are people that you know who are asking just that kind of a question. Of course, the truth is not that one good deed or many good deeds will ever guarantee anyone's entrance into the kingdom. And so the question is what does guarantee my entrance into the kingdom? And again, I trust that you know that answer well enough that you could actually answer that. Of course, it has all to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus. But does Jesus care about events at the World Trade Center that have been etched in our memory? Does God care about the millions who are starving and involved in various revolutions in Africa and the various different countries that are facing those things today, where people in great numbers are traveling across deserts to go to refugee camps? Does God care that the teacher in the school discriminated against your child and gave them a failing grade simply because maybe they were talking in class, but yet they had everything on their paper was done right? These are things that we wonder about, because how do we address them? How do we take care of these things? We have all of these conflicting messages coming into our minds. For us, as believers, having believed that Jesus is the Messiah, come into the world to rescue sinners, and believing that He's our guarantor of eternal life, we also have a guarantee for the future. We've passed from death to life and will be with the Lord for eternity. But for those who refuse to believe, for those who refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah come into the world to rescue sinners, and but rather than trust in Him, have trusted in their works, they too see the same kinds of injustices that we see. And they too are faced with the same kinds of questions that you and I have if we as believers don't have our eyes on the Lord. Well, for those who refuse to believe that Jesus is Messiah, will one day come to realize that their works won't be sufficient. we have come to understand and believe in the marvelous grace of God. And having placed our trust in Him, we not only understand that we have eternal life, but we also have a mission. We are to be vehicles of justice, instruments of righteousness. But what does that look like? One day, you and I as believers are going to have to give an answer to the Lord Jesus for the way that we've lived out our lives. Will you and I experience joy and reward, hear the well done? Or will we face the Lord with shame and loss of reward because we didn't live for Him, but we lived for ourselves? The unbeliever, on the other hand, who refused to trust in Christ will one day have his day in God's court. And on that day, the record will show all of his works, great works from a human perspective, maybe gave all their wealth away, but those works in and of themselves were insufficient. And having rejected the Messiah will result in eternal separation from God. Just give me the first slide if you don't mind. I hit blank. Okay. That's probably what I did. Inadvertently. There we go. So in the last couple of messages, we've been looking at the justice of God and we've been looking at God's outlined approach. We've looked at how God has dealt with issues in the past, how He brought on a universal flood for man's wickedness. We've seen God's justice in the present, how God wants to use the individual, the church, the courts, and then ultimately through God's temporal judgment, allowing us to live out the consequences of our choices. And this morning we want to consider another aspect called future judgments and justice. And although we have just a brief moment of time, I just want to draw your attention to a few thoughts. When you think of God's justice and the passage that we read in Matthew chapters 5 and 1 to 12, you can see that there are different people that are mentioned. Some of these people were facing injustice. Some were being persecuted for the Lord's name's sake. Well, there are two aspects of judgment when we think about God looking out for you and I and addressing these very sobering questions that we were talking about in terms of pictures relating to the injustices that we might see. Recently, you may have been aware of this, but one of the backbenchers in our parliament was soliciting other members of the parliament to consider supporting a private member's bill and opening up the whole debate on the abortion issue. That particular individual looks at the injustices of society and says, "I'm seeing a lot of children being killed through the current laws and would like to see those changed." I believe if that person, whether they're a believer or not, God is seeking to use even those kinds of things to attack and address man's conscience so that a person will not simply stand by idly and allow the weak, those who cannot protect themselves, to simply be destroyed. And so there are two aspects to judgment that we need to realize. There's temporal judgment. Temporal judgment is simply God dealing with people in time. And so you do something wrong, and God wants to address that in your life. And so He uses, again, in the present, He uses individuals, maybe confronting you. If it's a matter relating to the church may have to address it. If it's related to legal system, it may be the courts. But God is actually bringing about temporal judgment in our lives. This is for the believer and the unbeliever. And then there's a future judgment. We call it future, and here's that great big word, eschatological, meaning speaking to the fact that God is going to deal, and it's not inside of time, it's outside of time. And so God is dealing with people at the end of life. All of us are facing these two aspects of God's judgment. The temporal aspect we face every day. The future aspect will come when we are brought back to life and standing in the presence of God. Let's think about judgment for a moment. Judgment is simply the process whereby a verdict is reached, or the verdict itself. It's bound up with the notions of justice. And so if you were to go to the courts and you would look at a court and the judge takes his gavel and he says, now I want to sentence this person or I want to make a pronouncement, it's a judgment that's made and that is delivered and that is not something that's going to be changed. Now, there is a sense in which today we can go to our courts and we can appeal certain judgments. But in God's court, there will be no change in those judgments. So you're sitting here and you're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about the afternoon. But maybe there are some of you here today are thinking about what happened this past week. Maybe you witnessed some injustice. Maybe you were the instrument of injustice. If you were the instrument of injustice, God is going to address that quite possibly in time, in terms of a consequence in your life. Or he may wait to that future judgment where you as a believer will have to stand before God and give an answer for the way that you lived your life. Now, justice is slightly different than a judgment. A justice is seen where, and I'll just put the slide up for that. God's justice is seen in his judging sinners not arbitrarily, but as retribution for their persistence in sin. Again, that can happen in time. And again, God uses different vehicles. Sometimes we get to watch, and as we witness God protecting the one. Okay, so what happens, let's say that there's a mother and her child are waiting in a doctor's office, and for some reason, they are bypassed. They've been waiting there for an hour and a half, and the child is extremely sick, and the mother doesn't know what to do. So someone in the waiting room speaks up on behalf of that woman, and says, just hold on a minute, excuse me, please. This lady has been waiting here and has been suffering, and you can see the torment that she's experienced as she might have to wait that much longer. The lady with her child is experiencing an injustice as maybe the clerk is allowing another patient to go through, and in fact, deliberately or intentionally, refuse to allow that patient to go first. And so the person speaking is speaking on behalf and seeking to bring justice so that that person doesn't experience an injustice. Now that's a rather, everyday kind of an occurrence. It may involve discrimination. Sometimes it's not done intentionally. But still the person can still feel like there was an injustice. And so God is dealing with injustice. Justice is also connected with judgment, and judgment is the consequence of man's spiritual degeneration. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah in the 40th chapter. Isaiah chapter 40. Beautiful, beautiful passage where God is seeking to comfort the nation of Israel. It's going to face, at least within the context of the book of Isaiah, a future where it will claim that it is being treated unjustly. However, God is quick to remind the nation that he is a just God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 14. And what we're seeing here is that justice is rooted in the very nature of God. And so you can see the references. I'm going to look at a few here that are on the page. And I want you to understand that everything that you and I see, whether it's images of the World Trade Center or war and attack, and we're seeing soldiers raping women, killing innocent victims, God is looking at all of this. And we would be quick to bring a judgment ourselves. But we need to be very careful about that. We need to be very careful that we don't exercise judgment in our own strength when we have no avenue, no protection. Sometimes it can cost us, but there are also times when we may decide to take another life. You say, well, we're Mennonites. We don't do that. Or we live in a Mennonite community. We don't believe in that. Well, that's great. I think we need to allow ourselves to be hurt. But also we need to look out for the interest of others. Verse 14, we read, with whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and who taught him in the path of justice? Justice is every bit a part of God's nature. He even-handedly rewards good and he does not ignore the sins of any. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 28. Now, this matter of justice may not be all that important to you, but it sure should be because all of us experience injustice. It seems that the only time justice matters is when we've been hurt and not necessarily when we're watching other people being hurt. I want you to realize is that God wants you to consider the injustices of others and take an interest in protecting them. Psalm 37 and verse 28. We read, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. Turn over to Psalm 97 and verse 2. We'll start at verse 1. The Lord reigns in the earth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Listen to this statement. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Now, when you and I look at the injustices in society, we're trying to figure out how is it that God, who is just and righteous and holy, can stand by and allow all of the injustices that do take place? How can God look on and see these things? And this we'll relate to in a moment as we consider future judgment. The justice of God is also reaffirmed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God. Now think about that relationship. If our unrighteousness, which is terrible, and yet God is still true, he is still love, he is still just, he is still holy, the fact that he has dealt with all the sin of all people of all time speaks to the righteousness of God. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? And so sometimes people say, and unfortunately believers tend to make these kinds of statements, is that the reason why this person is suffering is because God is pouring out his wrath on them. I don't know how you and I can be so convinced of that in the lives of others. We need to be very careful about thinking that somehow some unfortunate set of events is because God is pouring out his wrath on people. The Apostle Paul speaks as a man, verse 6, certainly not. God is not unjust in inflicting his wrath. For then how will God judge the world? If God doesn't deal with matters in time, how is God going to judge the world? Turn over to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Because God is just, he never shows partiality or favoritism. Verse 6 of chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Interesting. I'm going to let that hang there. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. I'm taking you to passages that speak of the justice of God. I'm trying to help you see that as you sit here on any given Sunday morning, that really the Word of God is the place that we need to turn. It's our understanding of the Word of God that's going to help us to live properly. And so justice can be exercised in two ways. It can be very deliberately intentioned towards the unjust, and bringing about a temporal judgment, or yes, a future judgment in eternity, or also on behalf of those who are victims of injustice. And again, the way God meets out and works his justice is through people, through laws, in particular through his church. So to say, well, the churches aren't really involved in the political system. There's a separation of church and state. The church, believers aren't really involved. They don't really seem to be taking an interest. I'm sorry to say, but that is not necessarily true. Or I'm glad to say that's not necessarily true. There are a lot of believers who are advocating for the injustices. There are believers who are stepping in a breach for the unborn children, for the abused, and so on. That's why there are so many different ministries that work with people who not only are unfortunate in terms of the circumstance, but who have been treated unjustly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This day of the Lord speaks of God coming in a moment in time when God is going to deal and judge men for the way that they have lived their lives. In this particular case, it's temporal, it's in time. It's God coming to the earth to judge the world for the way that they have lived. And it's going to come with all kinds of plagues and curses and so on that we read about in the book of Revelation. And so you could put down Revelation chapters 4 to 9 next to this verse, because those chapters in the book of Revelation are a reference to the day of the Lord. And so the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness right now? If this is surely going to happen, you and I as believers need to do all that we can to live holy lives, because we recognize that God's judgment is sure and we don't want to experience his judgment now for having disappointed, not lived the way we should. And so if we live holy in godliness, we're looking for the hastening, and we are looking for and hastening the coming of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Now, many people think of, well, look forward to God's wrath. No, there's actually a greater picture in the background. The greater picture is the new heaven, new earth, where there won't be injustice, where, in fact, everything will be right. And guess what? We are God's instruments for justice today, so that the world can see how we handle difficulties, injustices in our own lives. And so there are going to be times in your life where you're not going to be at the front of the line, or you're at the front and you're put to the back. How are you going to handle that? Will you look out for others, or will you only look out for yourself? And so, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, since we know that God has judgment in the future, and that God is presently working out his justice through the courts, through people, through his church, through individuals, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, keep your eyes on the Lord, honor God. We're reminded that in the book of Ecclesiastes today. Being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow. In contrast to being led away by the error of the wicked, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Next time we get together, next Sunday morning, we'll talk about the judgment of believers, a judgment at the end of the Great Tribulation, which is the judgment of nations, the judgment of Israel. We're also going to talk about, or at least develop the thought initially, justice during the thousand-year reign of Christ, and we're going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. Two questions you need to consider today. The first, where will you spend eternity? If your answer is, I'm not sure, then you should talk with me. I need to talk with you, or you need to talk with me, but I would like to make that clear so that you have a clear understanding of what God expects of you. If your answer is, I know that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord because I understand that Jesus is Messiah, and he's the only one who can guarantee my eternal destiny, then there's a follow-up question. In what condition will you face the Lord? With joy or with shame? May the Lord give you wisdom. Every day of your life, you are faced with issues of justice and injustice. Whether you're driving a truck, that's right. Sort of wonder about that, right? Or whether you're raising children, or whether you're working with the helpless, or whether you're in the school. Each of us, in our places of work, are faced with matters of justice and injustice. We'll talk more on these things in the future. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you that you took our place on Calvary, took our punishment upon yourself, dealing with our sin. And so that the judgment that was to be upon us was placed upon you. And as a result, those of us who have come to understand your marvelous grace, having placed our trust in you, have received the verdict justified by grace through faith, forgiven, at peace with God, to be forever with the Lord. What a privilege, something for which we do not deserve. And yet at the same time, Lord, we realize that you ask us to live our lives in gratitude. You ask us to consider all that you've done for us so that we can have sins forgiven and peace with you. We realize, Lord, that there are many times where we only look out for ourselves. We see the injustices around us, especially those that affect us, and we curse the darkness rather than to seek to be light. And so help us as parents to teach our children how to deal with the challenges of life. Help us as believers to depend upon you daily for strength, for grace, to be able to forgive others as we've been forgiven, to be people of righteousness, exercising mercy and love. So go with us now, and you know, Lord, the individual circumstances that each of us faces in our families. And as we look at events around the world, as we see the decisions and the consequences of the choices of people and decisions being made by leaders, May we depend upon you and pray for them, that you would grant them wisdom, that you'd bring godly people into their lives to influence them. And may we be those people in our places of work and our families. And so go with us now, and may we honor you with our lives, our families. May you be glorified through each one. In Jesus' name, amen.